This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, here we go. 60 minutes left of the show as we roll on Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio on a way back Wednesday. I had hour number one, Nick hour number two. This is Barry's hour number three. Songs from 1997 or 1988 in a conversation we had yesterday about Texans and their possible outcomes for the season record. 97, 9-7, 8-8. 88.
Could have let that play.
It's a good song. I'll give you that.
Child of mine.
Could have cut it before he started singing.
I know it did
well,
sound
he's
like
doing the Stevie Wonder.
Sounded like a wounded cat. No, that's the.
I'm pretty sure that was the Axl Rose.
The Axl Rose.
Sway Snake.
It looked like Stevie Wonder.
Stevie's
too.
More just head. Axl's body.
Yeah, he used body into it. Totally true.
Stevie would also kind of clap every now and then.
Head only.
Oh, when Eddie Murphy did it, he would do the clap with it.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah. So we were talking about Mario Williams.
Yep.
This crazy case. Breaking news as of whenever it was released, either last night or this morning. But we were told of it while we were on the air. And does not look good for him. Hopefully he gets some help because it looks like he needs it.
It looked like in the video that she was the one recording the entire situation. Would you agree with that, Barry?
Yes, it absolutely was.
Wouldn't it be funny if she's the one who sold it to TMZ?
That would be funny.
I mean, obviously, we don't want to make fun of this bad situation. Thankfully, there was nothing on videos that showed Mario Williams putting his hands on her. Yeah. But wouldn't that be crazy?
I mean,
how did TMZ get that video?
How did they get a copy?
They hacked into her iPhone.
unless it was submitted as part of preliminary evidence.
Maybe.
That becomes public record, right?
Yeah, because once you get it
totally
to the police,
guessing. Yeah, then it
could somehow be
public
accessed
record
by someone else.
Maybe.
I mean, that's how the Ravens thing was. I mean, the only person who had that footage was one. It wasn't the Ravens, and I'm not even sure it was the.
It was just the hotel,
it was
the right?
Casino, maybe. Yeah.
I don't know, but that is a good question. I didn't think about that angle, but it's her video. How did they get it?
Yeah, you can clearly tell she's the one. She even closed the door, talked to him a little bit while the door
through
was
the
closed,
door,
opened, then, oh, yeah. opened it back up.
Really weird. Speaking of crazy stuff going on in the sports world. How about another former Houston sports star caught up in drug trafficking? Octavio Dotel.
Yeah, there's a name.
Former closer.
Yeah, and setup man.
For the Astros. Along with ex-infielder Luis Castillo, both have been allegedly linked to drug trafficking and money laundering in the Dominican Republic. The Dominican Attorney General said that they're actively pursuing the charges against them both, plus ringleaders from the drug cartels and whatnot. And then it says also there's a guy that's named after one of the Reds pitchers that's not the Reds pitcher that's also linked to this as well. But there's 18 people in the network. There's
Luis
money
Castillo,
laundering involved.
Right?
No, that was somebody else.
Yeah, I thought it was Dotel and Castillo. I'll look it up.
It is, but Castillo got cited. Dotel went to jail.
Yeah, Castillo's denying it vehemently.
Yeah, I mean, at least according to Bleacher Report, it says that one got arrested and the other. Yeah, Dotel has been arrested and Castillo has been citing, according to the Associated Press.
And Castillo went out on social media just denying it vehemently, but again, he's being detained, I believe.
Well, okay, yeah, so the Reds pitcher is also Luis Castillo, but this is the ex-infielder, not the current Reds pitcher.
With the Marlins.
I thought they were saying there was a third one that was shared a name with a Reds pitcher, but it is Castillo, so just bizarre, man.
And you got to, you know, it behooves you to ask the question. Dotel had a long career. He played, 14 different teams?
Mm-hmm.
But with that, he got paid at every stop. So you figure, and you're normally good about this, and I hate to hit this on the fly, but I'll just guess, right? So his career earnings, 14 teams, got to guess it was probably 18, 19 years of him
who?
Playing in the major leagues for Dotel. Octavio Dotel.
Mm. career earnings. I can pull up the spot track. Okay,
but I'm just saying.
Guessing?
Yeah, let's just guess just for the sake of saying to prove a point. Say he probably made what, 20 mil? 25 mil?
It's probably
higher.
Higher. Okay, even better then. How much?
By the way, it's nine or 10 teams.
Okay.
13 seasons. $40 million.
So if you made $40 million in your career, why in the world do you feel it necessary to get into that?
I don't understand that either.
Now, we've joked on this show about just give me $1 million, you'll never see or hear from me again. But you know what? If you had made $40 million, I'm pretty sure that you could open up a business or create something to do something where
invest.
You'd never have to work again. Yeah, your money could make money on top of its own. But do you really want to get into all that?
Yeah. You know, sometimes, though, you get caught up in stuff and you don't – like your friends or you're doing – you know, you think it starts off pretty innocent and then before you know it, you're pretty deep into it and you're like, oh, damn, this isn't good.
So earlier in his career, he didn't know how to handle – like when he got that first paycheck with a lot of cash – he didn't know how to, you know, maybe he got better with his money as time progressed, but it was too late. And by the time he retired, he didn't squander all of it, but he squandered a good portion.
Because I guess that as you read some of the articles I was reading on it, that they used relatives to front fake businesses so that they could launder the drugs and money in the back. And it's pretty shady stuff. And, you know, I mean, you're right, Nick, you could squander it. But, I mean, that's a lot of money to squander. You would think that at some point, whether it be you got wise and got mature and longer you got into your career, whatever. Because, like, Edwin Jackson, that's where I was thinking. He's played with 14 teams now in the bigs. So everybody's like, oh, man, that sucks. You've bounced around a lot. But guess what? At every bouncing stop he made, he got paid.
Millions.
Yeah.
So Castillo on his Instagram said, the truth is my country no longer works. My God, do you think that after making millions of dollars in baseball, I'm going to dirty my hands with drugs?
Yeah, I do. It's possible. Yeah. A lot of people do.
You can get caught up in it, man. You never know.
Yeah, so he was vehemently denying it, while Dotel hasn't really been heard from. And as Nick said, I believe he was arrested. So he's definitely in custody, Dotel.
So this has Dotel in the article. This is all the teams that it has listed. It has Detroit, St. Louis, Toronto, Colorado, the Dodgers, the Pirates, the White Sox, the Braves, the Royals, the Yankees, the A's, the Astros, and the Mets. That's 13
teams. That's 13.
But on SpotTrack, it doesn't show all that. It shows 13 seasons.
Did he make two different stops here in Houston?
No. So it has Astros from 2001 to 2004, the A's in 2005, the Yankees in 6, the Royals in 7, the Sox in 8 and 9. He was a Pirate in 2010. In 2011, he was a Cardinal and a Blue Jay. 2012, he was a Dodger, then back to the Cardinals in 2012, and then he was a Tiger. He retired a Tiger. So that's not 13 teams, so I don't know. That's kind of weird. Like they have the Rockies on there. That must have been minor league. Or he must have, you know, broke camp or not. You know, he made spring training and then got cut because drawing a paycheck, it wasn't that many teams. It was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 9 or 10 teams. So, and I just did that quick count. So, it's still a lot. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, 10 teams in 13 seasons.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
But he's never broke over $5 million, according to SpotTrack. I mean, each year, I don't think he has one year.
No, he had $6 million with the White Sox.
Yeah. So with that's what I was going to say next. With an exception of 2009, it's $6 million, $5 million, $5 million, and $4.7
million. Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. That's still a lot of money. I would like $6 million in a year. I don't know. I mean, I don't know where his mind is. No one's really heard about him in a while, so I don't know where he's at from a mindset standpoint.
Yeah, and you just wonder why guys that have that kind of experience get involved with that, but you never know. Like I said, sometimes you just you get caught up with the wrong crowd, and before you know it, you look up and it's too late. You're deeper into it than you thought you should have been or would be. So
no bueno.
Nope. I was looking at his career numbers. 15.2 WAR, 59 wins, 50 losses, 378 ERA, 109 saves, WHIP of 1.23. For a while, dude, he was pretty nasty.
He was, and remember now, he set up Billy Wagner and the back end of that bullpen.
Well, it was Lidge, Dotel, and Wagner for a while.
Yeah.
Then it was Lidge and Dotel, and then it was Dotel or Lidge. Dotel left. So yeah,
that's when they thought he was going to.
All three of them kind of got a crack at closing and moved on at some point.
And he also, I think at some point the Astros realized he was looking for a bigger payday and they weren't going to give it to him and he moved on. But yep. No, he had some good years here, man. I mean, he was impressive for a while. So, yep. Again, evidently not impressive enough in the bank accounts that he didn't want to dabble in other things. But
2004, he had 36 saves. That was his best year as a reliever. He started, too, at the beginning of his career. The first year in Houston, he started 16 games.
He was a starter?
Yep. He had 16 starts and 16 saves.
Okay.
That's how Wagner was, too, though. If you recall, Billy Wagner was a starter.
Yeah.
He and that was the thing. He was great for a couple of innings, but then he would start to lose the life on that fastball, and it would flatten out.
Someone got smart, though. They did. And realized the lightning in that arm and short doses can be very effective.
Billy Wagner was nasty. One of my favorite Astros of all time.
And every time Berkman's on doing the telecast, too, and even Blummer, they say that dude should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he was nasty.
Yeah, he really was. When he brought it, I mean, there's a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, and there's a heavy 100-mile-an-hour fastball, and he brought it. Yeah. So there's that story for you as we continue to roll on. And before we hit to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Twin Peaks. Look, I had my draft last night. Barry had his Monday. Nick is tonight. If you're in the Webster area, you can stop in and say hi. But there is only one place to hold your fantasy football draft party. It's got to be Twin Peaks because they take care of you. And now's the time to book your team's fantasy football draft party. You can contact your local Twin Peaks. There's five in the Houston area. And they're going to take advantage of just everything that you need to set you up. Sweet draft party prizes for the whole league and other things. The number one pick for your scheduling should be Twin Peaks. Because, of course, you know it's eats, drinks, scenic views. But you know the Twin Peaks grills are beautiful. You know the draft beers are 29 degrees. The made-from-scratch kitchen has your appetizers and your meal all taken care of for you. All you got to do is just get a menu, order what you want, and keep drafting that league and have a good time. The girls are always in the costumes, the back-to-school costume party, August 19th through the 25th, right down your alley as well. You should check them out. But I'm telling you, it is Twin Peaks, the number one spot for your fantasy football draft. Check them out. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Hey, you filthy.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through the final hour of the show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Astros, NFL. We've covered a lot today, boys.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up something when we were talking about the Astros that I forgot about, but don't look now, but Athletics are rolling. 3 out of 4 from the Astros. Yep. Had a 2 out of 3 against the White Sox and split with the Giants, but then go in and take that first game from the Yankees, beat them 6-2. So no shame in losing to those guys. Obviously, you didn't want to lose 3 out of 4, but it was on the road. But Athletics are rolling right now.
I watched them play the Yankees after the Astros game last night. I flipped over to ESPN looking for SportsCenter, caught the game, saw them put up a 4 spot on the Yankees. Simeon got picked off actually after a double trying to stretch it. Otherwise, it might have been worse. And I was like, same thing as you. I'm looking at this team going, look, I know they are neck and neck with the Rays, but that's a team that's getting hot at the right time and staying that way. They are playing good baseball. And that's with Laureano out. They've experienced some injuries as well. But man, they're right now there.
Cleveland's one game up over the Rays and the Athletics. Rays are actually percentage points ahead of the Rays are percentage points ahead of the A's right now. They have a 578 winning percentage. The A's have a 576. But it's pretty much neck and neck. And the Red Sox are probably out of this now. The Angels are definitely out of this. The Rangers. This is now a three-horse race. This is now the Indians, the Rays, and the Athletics. And the crazy thing is this is my favorite time of year in baseball because now when you go to ESPN and look at the standings, it shows you playoff percentages. Mm-hmm. And the Indians look like the lock. They have an 86.4% chance of making the playoffs. The Rays have a 62.7% chance, and the A's have a 48.1. So if I made you pick right now, who do you think the two teams are that will be in the wild card between the Rays, Indians, and A's?
I think it's the Indians and the A's.
Okay. Yeah.
I just think the way they're playing right now, I think that, you know, we know that the Rays don't have the pitching they once had with Snell, who started the season as the Cy Young reigning, you know, Cy Young Award winner. And we all know that he struggled with his health and he's out. Charlie Morton's cooled off a little bit, but he's been their horse. But overall, I feel like the hottest team right now, the two hottest teams playing the best baseball are the Indians and the A's.
I was looking at the Rays' schedule going back since the All-Star break. They had a losing streak of 5 games, and they also ended up losing 7 of 8. But since that time, they've only lost like 6 or 7 games since July 24th. That's pretty strong. I mean, they're not really
and I'm not
fading.
Saying they're a slouch.
Yeah, yeah, no, but I'm just saying they're not fading. But obviously, they're not going to catch the Yankees. But they're 6-4 in their last 10. The A's are 7-3 in their last 10. The Indians are 4-6 in theirs. So you know, you take that 10-game sample size, and the Indians, you know, not faring as well. Now, obviously, you have to take into account competition and other factors like that. But Indians have lost what 2, 4, 5 of their last 7. So that was against Boston and New York. So they got beat up a little bit. I think it's going to be really close. I think, would I be surprised if the Indians don't make it? Yes, I would be. But I'm not going to tell you that it would completely shock me if this was an A's-Rays wild card. If I had to pick, I'd probably go Rays and Indians right now.
Okay.
But again, that Oakland team is not to be played with. They are a legitimate baseball team, and it should be no surprise that they're playing this well down the stretch. They do this every year. They start off slow. That's they struggle out of the gate, but after the All-Star break, you can always count on the A's, as of the last couple of years at least, making a run and making things interesting and giving people fits, and that's what they're doing.
That's the thing. Everybody used to say, oh, they're the cheapskates that overcrunched the numbers, the whole Moneyball situation with Billy Bean. But when you look at it, and again, when we talked about this at the start of the year, I thought because of the way they did it last year that they would be relevant again this year. And then they started the season, and it didn't look like they were going to be. And remember now, for a while, the Angels were the second-place team. And, you know, and the A's weren't even in the discussion. But yet, lo and behold, here comes Old Faithful, steady as she goes, and they come right back into the picture. And now they are playing great baseball, and they've survived injuries. Look at the Astros series. They call a kid up from AAA. He goes yard in the first game. He got several hits throughout the series. He just filled a hole and just kept on playing, and they have done what they're supposed to do. They made some subtle trades. Roark, they brought in as an extra starting pitcher, and they're playing good baseball. So you can crack on them for the whole money ball and the analytics and things like that. But one thing's consistent, and that is they play winning baseball.
Well, you're right, and I kind of subscribe to that philosophy too. I fill the hole and just keep on playing. That's what I do.
You want to go to the kitchen? Get yourself a snack?
No, I'm good. Thank you. Okay. I don't know what that meant, but I'm good.
I think you know what that meant. All right, with that being said, Astros still playing good baseball again. Finally, I think they've righted the ship. I mean, whether Correa goes on the 10-day IL along with Sanchez. But again, not that Super Jack is the answer, but they have enough people to fill those holes, Barry, because of the fact that, you know, you have Bregman that can slide over. You can put, you know, Yuli at third if you wish. You can fill it a lot of different ways. You can, but the main thing is like with Sanchez, with Peacock looking like he did last night, you're less and less concerned about Sanchez, because if you need him to start, he can. If you need him to do long or short relief, he can do that too.
Yeah, and I think the big thing is you still have your big three arms at the top of that rotation that are healthy. And so you can fade a Correa for 10 days on the IL. Or Alemis Diaz is a nice fill-in. He's a nice puzzle piece.
But he's on the IL as well.
But I'm saying, but it's not, you know, if he's out, that's one thing. Correa is a bigger miss for them. They're going to miss him more than Alemis Diaz. Having both sucks because you could have plugged Diaz into that spot.
Exactly, or third base.
So having them both is a bit of an issue. You know, when your utility guy is hurt and one of your stars is hurt, that kind of sucks. But again, the saving grace for this team really is that their three pitchers right now, their three aces, are not hurt. And that's going to keep them in ball games regardless of what that offense does.
And you say that, and that's if you don't know that Gerrit Cole will be on the hill tomorrow, I believe, for the Astros. So that's great news because you got Verlander tonight, Cole tomorrow. Greinke, as Barry mentioned, also ready to go. So that's going to be trouble for any series from now until the end of the season. And we mentioned the only series and the only games against teams with an over 500 record are four more with the A's, two with Milwaukee, and three with Tampa, I believe.
Yep.
So with that being said, the rest of them are games that this team should take care of business and win. And when you have those three guys at the head of the rotation, you should be in good shape.
You got seven games against the Angels left. Sorry, 10 games against the Angels left. So that's good news. You got this Detroit series. You got the three with Tampa and the two with Milwaukee. And then four with the, four left with the A's. But then you got the Blue Jays. You've got Kansas City, Seattle, Texas still left. A lot of those division opponents. And that's good because the division sucks outside of the A's. So,
yeah, no doubt about it.
Good news for them.
All right.
That's the jam right here, boy.
It's a great song, I'll be sure. 30 minutes to go on the clock when we come back. We'll take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7 right here on ESPN 97.5.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.
Hey, 30 minutes to go on the show. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Way Back Wednesday. Barry, hour number three, songs from either 1997 or 1988.
You know, the best decision that I made today was not looking at the text line. Yeah. I have been in a great mood. All the idiocy hasn't bothered me.
It's out there.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yep.
You're getting a dose of what the stuff that I have to sift through on a daily basis.
A lot of people trying to make the Mario Williams thing political.
How are you making that political?
It's on the Democrats or the Republicans for the way the bail is set, for the judges that have done kind of things. Some said, do you guys ever even think about talking college football? That happened yesterday.
Oh, yeah. We spent like 45 minutes yesterday on college football. What are you talking about? Yeah, we talk college football.
We got this from
You want to talk about the headlines on the front page of ESPN? The quarterback at the Mean Green? Get out of here. I might want to talk about that right now.
The Dragons, you know.
The Mean Green Dragons.
we got some other ones. Nick, obviously, there's suggestions for your fantasy football name that we've been getting all day. But I can understand why you can sometimes get a little bit.
I feel like Roughnecks is the best best name.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I think you're right.
There was one other one I forgot. What is that face, Barry? Go ahead, just spit it out. What do you want?
No.
What do you want the team name to be? Go ahead.
No,
I'm open.
I just was taking suggestions.
And what were those suggestions?
Whatever we got on the text line. I didn't have anything in mind.
Psychologist
that I think
Nick
would be awesome. Who?
Psychologist Nick.
Why
Someone
is that?
Suggested. I don't know.
They Psychologist said, Nick.
First
Nick
time I've been described as that.
That is weird. Of all the bad ones that we've gotten, that might be the worst. That makes no sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Psychologist Nick. Yeah, so Roughnecks is what you're going to go with?
I think I'm going to go with Roughnecks.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
I think it's pretty good. Yeah, I think that's a good choice on your part. So we got
any
that
plans to draft Joe Horn?
No.
Just checking.
Negative.
Is he still playing?
Negative, sir. And I know exactly why you mentioned that.
Yeah.
I'm just,
and it's clear as day what you want my team name
no
to be.
No, what?
Something in regards to a horn or a unicorn.
No.
Or a bump. Or
I didn't
hump
send that one either. That dumb unicorn one.
Was that a you sent that?
No, I
you
didn't.
You texted it in.
No, I said I didn't. Some loser texted that in.
Some of these suggestions.
I didn't send it. I know they're brutal. They're not even funny. That's why I'm saying, like, if you're going to send stuff, just be creative. If you're going to make fun of the three of us, we really just ask that you be creative and don't just regurgitate the jokes that we make.
Jolly Saint Nick?
Or that. That was all. Did you send that, Joel?
No.
I feel like you texted that. That came from your phone. I'm going to check.
I've avoided the text line, as have you.
That's
sir
probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Nickel and dime.
I'm so much
dime
happier. Nickel and dime?
Nickel and dime has been mentioned.
I mean, it's not terrible, I guess.
Thank you guys for keeping me entertained today. Turned 30 today, so if it's time to party, I'm ready. Love you guys. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Love
Happy
you too.
Happy birthday, because it only goes downhill from there, right?
Yeah.
After the big 3-0.
You know, I was, God, 35 years ago for me, so it's tough to remember that far back. But, Nick, it's closer for you, so you can comment on that. I did put this on here, and Barry, you saw it during the break, but it was pretty funny. There was an incident in the minor leagues with one of the Rangers A-ball teams where a catcher was up to the plate, but he had a problem with the strike zone. So he was so ticked off at the fact that he was called out on strikes that he started arguing with the umpire, and he got tossed. But in the process, he was going to get his fill, yelling about it. He's in the dugout, and he's screaming back, looking over his shoulder at home plate to the umpire, and doesn't realize that there is one of the steel girders to hold up the dugout, and slams right into it with the side of his head, and it's like it knocks sense into him. The minute he hits him in the head, he's like, oh, I'm done. That was it. With the argument and everything else, he just went.
He just stops talking and walks. You ever done something like that?
I know my daughter does it all the time because I'm on Taylor constantly about you got to look where you're going. And she just does that. She'll be like looking backwards, walking forwards. She'll hit the side of a wall or something like that and then just keep going.
Man, at Jersey Village back in high school, the lunchroom, you could get to it from the bottom floor and there was four ways to get. It was just a big open area, obviously, right? And so you could get to it from four or five different hallways. They all converged into the lunchroom. But then you could also go upstairs. And when you got to the lunchroom, there were stairs on each side you could go down. And they were, so it was, everyone in the lunchroom could see those stairs. My stupid ass missed that first step on the way down.
Ooh.
And slid.
All the way down?
From the top to the bottom. Tumbling, books flying everywhere, loud, screaming, cursing. Oh, I have never been so embarrassed in my whole life. All the way down the stairs.
It was like that game.
I mean, I didn't hit the floor, but I was close.
It was like that game we were watching on the Ocho that day.
Yeah.
The slippery steps.
It was exactly what it was like. And then the only other time I did something that embarrassing, I was at the mall around Christmas. And they have poles in the mall, in the middle of the Woodlands Mall. And they had one of those photography studios where people wear the white button-up shirts and the blue jeans, and then they all take a family picture together.
Or whatever it is.
Something like that. Well, they had this baby, and this baby was so ugly. And I was like, God bless, I have never seen a baby that ugly. Bam! And I ran into a pole. And it was so – it's what I get, first of all.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it was so loud, it echoed through the mall, and I felt like the whole mall just stopped. Because when I did it, I yelled. I was like, oh! But my face smacked the pole, and it made this thong! Like, no, oh. I was so embarrassed. I was just, oh, my God. I was like, who puts a pole in the middle of the walking space in the mall? Especially by the photography place where you're going to be looking at all the ugly babies. So I feel for this guy. I've done that. You guys have never done anything like that?
I mean, I've told the story about Academy being on the treadmill. Flying off the treadmill. I've told that
totally
story at least twice.
You ate it at Academy.
Because it was one of those self-propelled ones. Remember back in the day? They didn't have the ones where you like, and then there was like a brake that you had to pull, and I didn't pull the brake, and I just went somersaulting.
Yeah. That's awesome. You? Anything like that? Come on.
I've told you guys this story before, but I should probably hold it back today.
Why?
Like, when Lisa and I first started dating.
Oh, no. Is this you or Lisa?
No, it's Lisa.
This is fantastic. No. I want you.
Well, how are you going to embarrass?
I don't remember.
You've done something embarrassing.
I'm sure I've done plenty. Oh, I know. When we were going to the hospital because Lisa was about to have Taylor. And I was running around to get the car and get her bag and everything that she needed. Not once, but twice, I missed the last step on our staircase and bit it in front of Lisa and her mom.
Oh,
and I like
the mom probably loved it.
Oh no, they loved it because the first time they're like, "Oh, are you okay?" And I'm like, "No, I still got stuff to do. I got to load the car, whatever." 5 minutes later, I go running up the stairs to grab one more thing. I come down, zoop, boom, right there again, right on laying there on the hardwood floor again. And her mom goes, "You know, you did that twice now." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know."
He did his in front of an entire department store.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did mine in front of an entire mall and a high school.
I know how to handle myself in public.
Two family members, and you're going to try to lump that in? I need something more embarrassing than that. Well, I need way more embarrassing.
You never tripped over anything at the Toyota Center?
Yeah, you never fell in front of at a Rockets
a
broadcast?
Or something?
Not that I remember.
Pooped your pants on the court? Nothing?
No.
Man.
Microphone wire?
I know how to handle myself
You're not living your best life.
Okay.
If you're not embarrassing
yourself. I appreciate you telling me that.
Well.
I'll try harder.
Yeah. Good. Okay. I need more embarrassing dirt on you, Joel.
Jeez.
By the way, can we just, before I close this window on For the Win, where we got the story of the minor leaguer running into the pole, they have a picture of Jerry Jones, and I meant to say this earlier when we were talking about the Ezekiel Elliott thing. Mm-hmm. That guy's looking bad.
Now, when you see him normally, he's at camp with a Cowboys baseball hat on and comfortable clothes. Yesterday when he was doing that press conference, he was full suit and tie and everything.
Yeah, but he's looking like the guy from Tales from the Crypt, the skeleton guy.
I mean, he's pushing 90, right?
Is he?
I don't know. I'm asking.
What's the Crypt Keeper's name? Whatever the Crypt Keeper, he's starting to have that.
Boy, did I age him. He's 76. My bad.
He's looking rough, though. When in the video, I think this Zeke thing is wearing on him because he looked downtrodden and defeated.
I think it's not just the Zeke thing. I think the fact that, you know, one thing is everybody says, no, every time you're in the news, good news or bad news, it's good for him and his franchise. But every day, the only thing that saved him at all is the AB situation with the Raiders and the helmet and the feet. But other than that, every day all we hear about is, first it was Dak. And are you going to give him, you know, 30? Does he really want 40? All those stories. And the Zeke thing hasn't gone away. And, of course, Cooper is out there with his contract, too. And then everybody keeps saying, and his son keeps doing interviews about how they're going to possibly be able to sign them all and keep them all. And I think that's all got to wear on him.
Well, starting to show on his face. I was watching that video of him saying, I've earned the right to make that joke. He was not looking good. I don't know.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
I don't know.
Let's grab this before we get to break.
Sure.
I hope this is disparaging words about your favorite quarterback.
You're really nice today.
Kobe, welcome to the show.
Kobe we'll wants to talk mess on. About Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Kobe?
Not too much. Hey, is it my crazy for losing confidence and losing faith in Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback? I mean, definitely call me out on it then, but I just don't feel like it's the Aaron Rodgers that had the passion to win. And, you know, I got a lot of buddies who are Green Bay fans. And they're like, oh, man, this is it this year. We got a new coach. Got rid of McCarthy. I didn't like McCarthy. I thought he was really bland for his play calling. But I'm already seeing, like, tension between Aaron Rodgers and this young gun coach. And I think Aaron, to me, man, he thinks it's his team. But also, to me, it doesn't seem like he wants to take leadership. So help me out with this a little bit.
Well, Kobe, I know Barry wants to chime in here right away, but I mean, the one thing that I can tell you is let's just wait to see how the season plays out, and because, you know, everybody's building up this drama between LaFleur and Rodgers, and there's no doubt Rodgers was hurt by the fact that he thought he'd have more to do about picking a coach, and he's made little snide remarks about all I'm here to do is play quarterback. I'm not making decisions and this, that, but let's not pass judgment till we see him play, but definitely the bigger thing that you should be critical of is not him. And if he's on the downside, they don't put enough weapons around him and they still haven't. And if you look at Devontae Adams and then you say, well, they could have gone out and got receivers on the other side. They didn't. They stuck with Jimmy Graham for another year to hope that it works out. The running backs are all drafted guys that are young that, you know, you hope Aaron Jones is good. But I mean, I just say this, I would hold out hope and see how the season goes before you pass any judgment on Aaron Rodgers, because he just has too much ability. You got anything?
I mean, I have stuff, but I don't want to.
Go ahead.
No, I don't want to. It's not disparaging. And it's just, it's weird the dynamic that's going on in Green Bay right now. He had his most efficient year, I think, when you look from an interceptions standpoint. He only hit through two interceptions all year, played in 16 games. His attempts were close. I think he was at the second most pass attempts. Touchdowns are way down, so you wonder, is this because he doesn't have enough weapons? Because he doesn't have any weapons? Has he lost a step? I think the numbers bear out that he's not playing at the exact same level from a result standpoint. Like, when, I mean, obviously the record wasn't great, the touchdowns weren't there, but he threw for a lot of yards, 4,400 yards. That's what, second third most in his career last year?
Yeah,
So I mean, the end zone, the touchdowns weren't there at only 25 when he threw 40 2 years ago. But then again, is that a result of a bad offensive scheme? I haven't lost faith in Aaron Rodgers yet until they put together multiple seasons of him being bad, because he'll have a stinker of a season every now and then, but how much is that his fault or the people around him? So
true, and like Nick said with his when he was on Charlie's show, you know, and it's basketball or it's football. It's who has most to prove this year. Aaron Rodgers got a lot to prove, so we'll see how it goes. Because when they ESPN did their people on the hot seat for this season, it wasn't LaFleur, it wasn't Rodgers, it was President Mark Murphy. Because if he's the one that fired McCarthy and hired this coach, and it doesn't work out, maybe it's time to look in that direction.
Could be.
There you go. We got segment one segment left to go in the show. We'll put a bow on it, wrap it up, turn it over to the Blitz, and Fred, Aaron, and AJ, they'll take you all the way home till 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5. The things I would
do to you. Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new...
Hey, here we go. Final segment of the show on a Way Back Wednesday. It is the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5, Barry, Nick, and Joel right here at the ESPN 97.5 studios. Gal Media headquarters, as the case may be. Good show. Covered a lot of ground.
Fun times. Did you see this story? I have a theory. Let me tell you what happened, and then I'll give you guys my theory. But a woman was arrested. This was last week. I happened to be on Channel 2's website today and saw this story. But so it was posted yesterday evening. But a woman was arrested last week after she admitted to stealing $275 in steak from two different HEBs. That's weird.
Yeah.
But that's not my problem with the story. So police stopped the vehicle on August 15th for expired registration. They asked the driver, Ernesto Barrero, for identification. He couldn't provide the license, ended up having outstanding warrants. Then they talked to the passenger, 50-year-old Loretta Kuntz.
Good.
I knew you were waiting for that.
Good.
From Livingston, who was holding a tote bag containing several packages of cold steaks. They asked if she could show proof of purchase. She said no. How do you... Okay, first of all, first things first. If you're going to steal steaks, you should at least make sure that your getaway driver is in a car whose registration is up to date and license plates and all that is taken care of. All the headlights and taillights work. Right. The blinkers are working.
Yep.
If you're committing a crime, rule number one is don't look like you've committed a crime.
Absolutely.
So that's the first part. The second part is how, not why. I get why. You could sell the steaks. You could eat the steaks. You know, whatever. But how do you get away with stealing steaks? Is there not somebody watching the steak department going, or all of the food for that matter?
Well, do you think there's cameras on the meat department?
I would hope so.
I don't know.
I would hope there's cameras on every aisle in a grocery store. I realize that a can of soup doesn't cost that much, but if they steal enough, it can start to...
You've seen the videos on TV from the meat department aisle to like women shopping with their kids using strollers or like Moomoo-like clothing and just taking like a whole rack and sticking it under their dress and walking out.
How do people
and-
not see that? How do people standing around them just not seeing her shoveling steaks? Now, I wonder if it's one of those things where they just put it in a basket and walk out.
Yeah, you put it in a cart and you push the cart to an area of the store that's kind of secluded. And then you load up.
I guess. I feel like that would be something that would be easily spotted, though. Maybe I'm naive.
What about the barcode? I mean, a lot of the stores are rigged up like stores at the mall are, where if you know something doesn't happen on the checkout process to kill that barcode from their system, that if you walk through the front doors...
No, I don't think that would be... that's like you have to have a tag on everything.
That's what I'm saying. Don't you take... But there's barcodes on every bit of merchandise in a store, in the grocery store.
The barcodes aren't, they have to be scanned with a barcode scanner. What you're thinking about is like,
I know at the mall of clothing,
the tags and stuff. Yeah, it's not the same.
But it doesn't work that way with grocery stores.
No. The other thing is, as I said, Kuntz. She's been charged with enhanced theft. No idea what that is. because she had 10 prior convictions for theft. I just saw that.
Now, that goes back to your original theory, which is if you've gotten caught, if you've been stealing 10 different times.
And you got caught. First of all, you're bad at stealing if you've been caught 10 times.
This should have been thought out a little more.
Well, okay. Maybe I shouldn't say she's bad at stealing because she may have only been caught 10 times. She may have stole steaks like 50 times. So that would make her pretty good at stealing if you think about averages, right?
I would imagine she's been successful before, right? If there's been 10 convictions.
You're probably right.
Even if she has a low success rate. She's gotten away with it at least
once,
right?
Let's say she's a decent major league hitter.
Is she stealing?
25% of the time.
Stealing steaks every time?
So that means if she's been caught 10 times, she's gotten away with it 40 times.
Well, that's a public record. So if we looked up her name, we'd be able to tell.
Yeah. Well, you'd be able to tell how many times she got caught, but not how many times she got away with it. We'll never know that. But if she's batting, 250, she's done it 40 times. That's a lot of steak.
Is it always steak, though?
That's a good question.
It's a lot easier to hide sausage.
I get why, though, because with HEB, they have good steaks. Can't beat their meat. It's good. All right, that was cheap.
Talk to Scott.
No, I really do like it. If I'm being honest,
yeah,
because I cook a lot of steaks. I don't want to disparage the good name of Kroger.
Mm-hmm.
HEB's steaks by far,
all right,
are better, especially the ribeyes. Not even close.
I will say this: we have an HEB by us, and we have a Kroger. And there are certain things that I will only go to Kroger for, and there are certain other things that I would only go to HEB for. And you just kind of you figure it out along the way. But yeah, you definitely can.
What is it that you only go to Kroger for? Because I feel like I used to be a staunch Krogerian.
Okay,
I used to be like, that's it. That's the one place I go. And then when we moved, the HEB was closer. So I was like, fine, I'll go to HEB. And then I started buying their steaks. I was like, damn, this is really good. Then I started buying their brand name stuff their ice cream, HEB Creamy Creations, or their chips or whatever. All that stuff is really good. And I always hated store brand stuff.
I'm with you.
Because Kroger's always sucked. But HEB's is really good. And now I rarely, if ever, go to Kroger anymore.
Kroger, the one thing that has been disappointing to us has been the produce. I think HEB, we go for the produce because HEB's produce, as big as that area is, they keep it fresh.
Yep.
Like even the bag, when I get the bags of lettuce, the romaine lettuce,
It's still good.
They take the time every day to look at it, see if there's any brown spots or anything. They'll throw that bag out, get a new bag in. Kroger, they let that stuff sit there.
So what do you go to Kroger for?
So Kroger for us would be more along the lines of some of Lisa's more healthier stuff, vegan stuff.
They have good vegan.
Yeah, they have vegan options. They have a whole healthy aisle of different, like from chips to everything else that uses no animal fats or anything like that.
The male performance pills are cheaper at Kroger. Joel knows about that.
Where do you, are you?
I got kids, do you?
Oh, are you an HEB? I'm
shooting Joel blanks.
Well, Major League Baseball put out a ruling today to warn its players that over-the-counter sexual enhancement pills will get you a positive test pop for MLB.
HEB or Kroger?
HEB 100%. I could not agree with Joel more in regards to the produce.
Yeah.
They slack at Kroger. Sorry.
Really?
They do. They really do slack.
Yeah. See, the one that really pissed me off and pushed me over the edge with that, too, is they had a big sign, seedless watermelon. So I grabbed two of them because in the summertime, Taylor loves it. Lisa and I eat it. I bring it home. Cut seeds. It open. Seeds all over the place.
That's just not the America I want to live in.
You've survived a tough day.
I appreciate you guys bearing with me in my bipolar moment of sadness.
I don't want to do that again. So
you don't want to do the text messages?
You can control your inbox.
Okay.
I mean, I can do it, but boy, I tell you what, you got to weed through a lot of crap.
Thank you for understanding. Yeah,
and I protect you guys too, but I'm telling you that I understand. I feel your pain going through
that.
Do you
see now how good of a job I do?
No.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right. So that's a way back Wednesday. Back tomorrow and back at it again. Sigmund Bloom, fantasy football expert, will be here at 2 p.m. So get your questions ready for that, and we'll roll
through
the rest
of the week.
Good luck
at the draft tonight, Nicholas.
Thank you, sir. Not looking forward to the drive, but I'm looking forward to the draft.
Because you're from there, they're having a parade down Main Street with you in the main car before
My birth town. Come and see me. Webster, Twin Peaks.
Go hang.
7-9.
Have a good time. We'll look forward to catching up on how you did in your draft, too. All right. For Barry and Nick, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. Blitz is next. ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
listening to ESPN 97.5.